Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
So this morning I can tell you in a few minutes what God did, but it's not going to be the same as you being here. Just as it wouldn't, you know, you can't reproduce Israel for us, we can't produce last week. I can share with you this morning the outcome. But if you're wise, you will get hold. You will go and listen to the main teaching sessions from last week so that you get the revelation for yourself. Because this really is the key to a life of faith. I was explaining last week, in future years, starting in October, I'm going to be doing this teaching with the students in the first term. So that the whole faith level of the college is going to be different in the future than it has been. I used to do this, but I haven't done the faith teaching in the college for a few years. So we're really going to up the stakes by several feet. Now, the essence, all I can share in about 10 minutes, for those of you who weren't here, the essence of what God did. If you turn to Galatians 2, those of you who were here won't hurt, will it, just to have a review for 10 minutes. Paul's testimony, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Now, this is the key that you've got to get hold of. We were all crucified with Christ. Our water baptism signified that we were not only crucified, but lay buried with him. So as with Paul, so with us, I no longer live. The person that I was no longer lives. But then Paul says, but Christ lives in me. So the whole heart of what we're talking about is the fact that Christ is in you. Now this means that you have two options. Either you do something or Christ in you does it. And the revelation that really came home to our hearts is very simply this. I can't, but he can. If I don't, he will. But if I do, he won't. I'll say that again. I can't, but he can. There's all kinds of things I can't do, but there's no limit to what Christ can do. You can never say Christ can't. So if Christ is in me, then there is no situation that God can place before me that he cannot do in me. But there's many situations where I would have to say, I can't. But that doesn't matter because he can. So if my faith is in him, then he will. So if I do it, he won't. Because what he will not do is share the platform with us. It's not Christ with me, it's not I, but Christ. So I have to decide in whatever I'm doing, am I going to do it or is Jesus going to do it? This is what he taught me when I was a very young pastor. It's a very, very simple matter. He simply asked the question, right, Colin, who's going to do it, you or me? What I learned was he would not share it with us. It's not Christ helping me, because that's still me. Paul isn't saying Christ is in me to help me. He's saying, not I, but Christ. So if I do it, he won't. But if I don't do it, he will. So long as, of course, I'm trusting him to do it, whatever it may be. Whatever God puts before me to do. And, of course, we had several sessions last week, so we were applying this in all kinds of different ways to our lives. Just turn to 2 Corinthians 12 for a moment. Because what we saw, let's just back a page or two, is we came to an understanding of what it was that God said to Paul about his thorn in the flesh. What the thorn was is immaterial at this moment. We just need to see what God was saying to him. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So the secret is to know how weak and useless you are. That if you know you are weak and useless, then you will not trust in yourself. Our problem is when we think we are able and we want to use our abilities. Because it's a simple question, whose abilities are greater, yours or Christ's? That was a question, it requires an answer. Whose are greater? Christ's, right, okay. Then why use your resources if you have his? So Paul makes a series of astonishing stories. God starts and then Paul takes it up. But you see, his power is made perfect in weakness. Why? Because if I know my weakness, I would depend upon his power. Yes. All we've got to believe what Jesus says about our natural beings. He says, in your flesh, there is nothing good. Yeah. That is, in your self-life, there's nothing good. So there's nothing good in my self-life as far as God is concerned. His estimate of my self-life is that it's unchangeable. The only thing to do is to put it to death so that I could have a new nature. But my new nature isn't an improved me. My new nature is Christ in me. So if I'm going to walk according to my new nature, I'm walking in dependence upon the Christ who is in me. Are we getting this? So it's not I, but Christ. And therefore, it doesn't matter how weak I am. In fact, if I know that I'm weak and useless, I have a considerable advantage because I'm less likely to trust myself to do whatever it is that God puts before me to do. I am going to meet that challenge by letting Christ have the floor. This is not the human Jesus. It's not the human Jesus in you. It's the exalted, glorified Christ that is in you. So you give the ground to the glorified Christ who is living in you by the power of the Spirit. That means powerful things are going to happen. So Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of God may rest upon me. It doesn't matter how much you recognize your weakness, the more you recognize that, the more of God's power can be manifested in your life. It isn't that you need more power, because God gave you all the power that you need when you were first received the Holy Spirit. The reason why there isn't more power manifested in your life is because you keep depending upon yourself instead of him. But every time you depend upon him, his power will come forth. Are we breathing? Okay, that is why, for Christ's sake, he says, I delight in weaknesses. You know, you read that and you think, what kind of a freak is this guy? But he realized he could delight in weaknesses, not only in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because in my weakness, I depend upon the Christ in me, And he is the strength of my life. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can't do all things in myself. In fact, Jesus says, apart from him, I can do nothing. Listen, listen. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So anything you do in self-dependence, as far as God is concerned, in his economy, in his estimate, that is worth nothing. Nix, nil, zero. So all those things that you think you can do for God, in God's estimate, they're worth absolutely nothing. But what Christ does in you bears lasting fruit. And this is what God has called us to, that we bear much fruit, but it's fruit that lasts for the glory of the Father. Are we there? Right, now that's a whole week's teaching. In a few minutes. You've got to get into the details so that it becomes revelation. Not just head knowledge. You don't just hear it up here, but it's revelation. I hear, you know, some of you have been saying to the people that are here, you're different. What's happened? Well, different because now we're living Christ. We're not living ourselves. We're not living for him. Christ is living in us. Christ is living through us. Now we're learning to depend upon Christ so that he comes forth. This is what the life of faith is really all about. Okay, now we're going to move on to new ground. Let's go to John chapter 14. You'll understand that I've only just given you the very, 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 just the bottom line, really. John 14, verse 20. On that day, what day? Here, day refers to when you receive the Holy Spirit. Has anybody here received the Holy Spirit? Yes. Okay, so you've had your day, as far as Jesus is referring here. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Who is in you? I am. What is the great description of God? What is his name? Moses says, what is your name? Who can I say has sent me to them? I am that I am. And here, Jesus says, I am in you. Now, though these disciples, you see, had been living with Jesus for 3 years or more, they had no idea when Jesus spoke these words what it was going to be like for I am to be in them. So what's the implication of that? Everything that he is in you. Everything. Because Christ is in you. Whatever he is, you have, for he is in you. And you will know that I am in you. Don't get too excited because it's Tuesday morning. Bad for your heart. Now, if you look at verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. We saw the importance of obedience last week if we're going to live in this revelation. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. So what Jesus is saying is he doesn't come visiting when our faith is high. He comes to live in us. Therefore, it makes a total nonsense of having Christ living in you, the Father and the Son having come to make their home with you, if you depend upon yourself and not him. I mean, you could say that was insulting to the Lord, wouldn't it? For Christ to be in you and you depend upon yourself and not him. Now, we've seen that what this leads to is the realization of the Paul says that he is our righteousness. We don't need a righteousness of our own. We don't need to try to be righteous in the sight of God Because no matter how you could try to change yourself to be righteous, you could not compare with the righteousness of Christ. But you see, what Paul says is, he is our wisdom from God, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. He is your righteousness. So you have perfect righteousness before God because Christ is in you. In and of yourself, no righteousness. Because that which you have, as Paul says, is a gift from God. It's not righteousness that comes from the law, from what you doing in obeying the law. It's the righteousness that God has gifted to you as a result of faith. A righteousness that is by faith. Now listen, from first to last. So it isn't that God gives this righteousness, then says, now you've got to go and try and see what you can do with it. No, it's by faith from first to last. You are only righteous before God today because of your faith in his righteousness. Listen to me, his righteousness has not become your righteousness. In the sense that he has not made you righteous. He is your righteousness because he can't make you righteous. He doesn't need to make you righteous if he is your righteousness. So your identity is in him. He is your holiness. It's not a question of trying to be holy. He has sanctified us and called us to be holy. But how are we going to be holy? Not by trying to improve ourselves. God knows you unimprovable. That's why he put you to death. But his new nature he gave you is Christ in you. So he is your holiness. You have holiness already, and his name is Christ. So you have perfect holiness before God because the one who is perfectly holy is living in you. So listen to me, you have no excuse for ever doing that which is unholy in God's eyes. But you see, what it means is Christ is in you. He is your victory. In every situation, he is your victory. If you depend upon yourself, you will fail and God will deliberately let you fail. Why? Because his purpose is for you to trust in him. But he is your victory. Paul says he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So even when there's temptation, if you try to resist the temptation, often you will fall, you will fail. But if you let Christ in you resist, he will never fail. It's just learning to say, Lord, I can't cope with this. Over to you. You do it in me and through me. So it's wonderful because he always gives us the victory, but it means that if you fail, you haven't trusted him, and that's what God will call you to account for. Say, well, why didn't you trust me? No use saying, oh, Lord, I felt such pressure. You know, I just sort of felt I had to do this. No, no, you didn't. What you had to do was trust in him. And if you didn't, then you trusted in yourself and you failed. Well, God doesn't whip us, beat us, scold us, punish us. What he does is say, right, next time you trust me. There's not going to be a repetition of what you just did when you failed. Now you trust Christ in you and you will not fail. And this Christ in you is the great I am. So, apart from him, you can do nothing, but I can do all things through him. That's the difference. Apart from him, nothing. All things through him. Now, he doesn't say he will enable me to do all things. He doesn't say I can do all things. I can't. Can't do anything. But I can do all things through him. That means that Christ in me, the I am in me, he will do it. I can't remember whether I mentioned this last week. I was talking to some guys on the way to Lampala about it. But, you know, there was that occasion some months ago when I was making radio broadcast, and while I was speaking, I fell asleep. I was very tired, as you can imagine. I fell asleep, but I continued to speak. And I must have been asleep for a few minutes. And it was the most unnerving experience because I woke up and I was still speaking and I didn't know what I'd been saying. And I was thinking, what have I been saying? And the words were still coming out, you see. And I thought, well, I better not even try to think of what I'm saying, but just go with the flow of this. And when I finished the program, I said to Julia Fisher, who was in the studio with me, I said, did that make sense? She said, yes, it made perfect sense. Why? I said, well, I fell asleep and I haven't got the foggiest idea what I said. But you see, if you like, that's a prime example of Christ in me. I mean, the whole basis of my life is that Christ will speak through me. This is why I've never got a text. But it was, if you like, a quite dramatic example of the fact that Christ, it is Christ that was speaking in me and through me. And actually, he didn't need me. He had my voice, but I could still fall asleep and he could still do the job. Now, I don't recommend falling asleep when you're speaking. I've fallen asleep at some meetings while I've been waiting to speak, but that's the only time I've actually fallen asleep while I was speaking. And I really did fall asleep. It wasn't, you know, just because you know how if you have a cat nap and you wake up, you're bright. Well, I woke up after that and I did a whole series of programs afterwards because I was as bright as a button. So it really was... really was sleep. But you see, Christ actually lives in us to speak through us, to work through us, to heal through us, to do whatever through us. Where Christians go wrong is when they say, Lord, help me, because he says, why? Why should I help you if I can do it? Why don't you trust me to do it? I don't want to help you to do it. I'm going to do it if you trust me. It's not Christ with me. It's not I, but Christ. I can't, but he can. And if I don't, he will. But if I do it, he won't. Until I stop trying to do it, and then he will. Hello? Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 13. Now, this is the test, you see. This is your end of Rophi year examination. Woo! Verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Now, what does Paul mean? Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? What is the test? Are you asking God to help you, in which case you fail the test? Or are you trusting in the Christ in you, in which case you pass the test? Hello? The test is not Christ and I in partnership. The test is not I, but Christ. So I have to acknowledge I can't pray. I really cannot pray. But then that's what the scripture says. We do not know how to pray as we ought. So I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. But the scripture also says, pray at all times in the Spirit. The Spirit within me does know how to pray. So if I let the Spirit of God pray in me, things are going to happen. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Christ is praying in you and through you. Not just using his name, but it's the activity of God's Spirit within you. Right? I can't worship. I don't know how to worship. All I can do is read words off the screen, try to keep my mind on what I'm doing and not on other things. But Christ in me can worship, or the Spirit of Christ in me can worship, which is why the Father is looking for those who worship that way, those who worship in spirit and in truth. It's His Spirit and His truth. You see, what you have to understand is that Christ gives us everything. He is the gift. Therefore, everything we do in His gifting, not in our strength. That's why last week our worship began to go up a notch. It's needed something new and fresh for a while. Began to happen last week. We need to flow in that now. I've become a bit moribund in recent months. But if we let the Christ in us free, then He's going to fill the worship. Amen. So you see, I can do all these things as far as appearances go. But not in the effective way that God wants me to do. If Christ prays in me and through me, or I pray in His name, which is, means I pray in the Spirit of Christ, then things are going to happen. Put it this way, if I speak to the mountain, I don't think it's going to quiver. But if the Christ in me addresses it, it has to move. Now, you see, to all intents and purposes, it appears that I'm doing it. But I know I'm not doing it. It's Christ in me. So He will tell me what to say, how to address it, what to do, what to believe. You understanding me? So the walk of faith is learning not to trust in yourself. Not I, not I, not I, but Christ. The temptation of the devil is to get you to do things. This is what he wanted Jesus to do. Turn the stones to bread because you're hungry. You can do that if you're the Son of God. And Jesus is not in your life. Why? Because he lived by the same principle. But his dependence had to be on the Father. I speak no words of my own, only the words my Father gave me to speak. Not I, but my Father. I can do nothing of myself, only the things I see my Father doing. Not I, but the Father. I have not come to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Not I, but the Father. He doesn't say the Father is going to help me. He says, not I, but the Father. Not my words, the Father. Not my actions, the Father. Not my will, the Father. You've heard me quote that so many times, haven't you? Like just about every week. Why? Because Jesus is showing us how we've got to live, what the life of faith is all about. Not I, but Christ. It's not simply not I. There's then got to be the dependence upon Christ. Now, of course, Jesus himself was teaching the disciples this. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. What is denying yourself? Not I. It's not just denying chocolates in Lent. Somebody once said to me, what are you giving up for Lent? I said, sin. I mean, that's what we're supposed to give up permanently, isn't it? See, it's not I. Jesus himself lived like that. Why? Because he was showing us how to live the God life in humanity. And what the devil was trying to get him to do was just something, just do one thing in self-dependence, Jesus. And then the sin of Adam would have been repeated. Just one thing where you initiated instead of the Father. Because Satan knew then there would be no salvation for anyone. So if Jesus had to live that way, surely to goodness we have to live like that. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. It's not help me, it's not me, but Christ. See, so often we pray, oh Lord, help me, help me, help me. He says, no, no, not you, but me. Stop striving, struggling, straining. Quit your action and trust me. This is the test. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Because you see, if we trust ourselves, reason, our intellects. And remember, Paul that wrote this stuff was one of the greatest intellects there's ever been in the church. A very able and capable person in the natural. But he understood, not I. Christ is my wisdom. If you go, there's no time to go through it now, but if you go through the early chapters of 1 Corinthians, I read them out to folks last week in my new translation, and you see how Paul contrasts the wisdom of the world, the natural wisdom, with the wisdom of God. It's amazing. But you can see that all our natural wisdom to God is foolishness. That's what Paul says. All our reasoning abilities, all that we can discern for ourselves is just foolishness to God. But he is our wisdom, our righteousness, our holiness, our victory. So the test of faith is whether we're trusting him. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? So who are those who fail the test? Those that are saying, help me, Lord. They fail the test. Who are those who pass the test? Not I, but Christ. I can't, but he can. So if I don't, he will. But if I do, he won't. Not until I stop doing, and then he will. Hallelujah. Are you breathing? Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. It's great fun, isn't it, this? So worship will change, prayer will change, everything will change as we learn to trust Christ in us. So it means you can say, well, I can't pray, but that doesn't matter because Christ is in me, so he will pray through me. If I just give the ground to him. You need something new in worship, you know, you feel you're fed up with singing the same songs 4,927 times. If you're not, I am. You need something new. Well, we didn't sing all that many songs last week. We just met with God. Why? Because the Christ in us will worship. Yes. Hallelujah. It's great, isn't it, when we trust him. Ephesians 3, verse 16, this is part of Paul's prayer for the church. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Not that Christ will help you, but you will have all this power released into your life because you are living with this revelation that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You see, in all of this stuff, feelings are absolutely, utterly useless because you can't feel Christ in you. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, but you can't feel him. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love, but you can't feel that love because it's a love of action, not a love of emotion. Are you breathing? The problem for so many Christians is they wait until they feel before they believe something. But of course, it doesn't work that way. You don't feel anything until you believe. And then you might feel something, you might feel nothing, but it doesn't matter because you believe. It doesn't matter whether you feel anything or not if you believe. If you believe, you trust. You trust in the Lord. Are you there? So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Now, he's talking to those who have already received Christ. He's not talking to people that aren't born again. He's saying, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm praying that you will so depend upon the Spirit within you that you will live as those with Christ in you, Christ in your heart. Because that's what will release the power into your life. You see, this is why the scripture says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Nothing about praying for them. Nothing about praying for them. Just lay your hand on them. Why? Because if Christ is in you, something of Christ will be imparted to that person so long as you believe. Doesn't require words. Doesn't require prayer. What does Jesus say? You will not be heard for your many words. Why? Because many words mean that you don't trust in the Christ in you. You think it's your words that are going to do it rather than Christ in you. So you try to get the right formula, you try to pray wrong enough, hard enough, loud enough. How did Jesus dispose of 2,000 demons? One word, go! That's authority. He didn't name them, he didn't pray over, for hours and hours and hours through the whole situation. Go! It's Christ in you. The same Christ in you can say, go! And that person will get delivered. You don't even need the formula. Go in the name of Jesus. You say it with the authority of Christ in you. Go! And they go. I know because I've seen it often enough. Everybody else is there, kuria sundering and coming out with their formulas and nothing's happened, but somebody comes along with Christ in them and says, go! The thing goes. It's called authority. But you see, it's the authority of Christ in you. It's great fun. And you see, it's liberating. Why? Because we've got a level playing field for all of us. Because every one of us has the same Christ in us. So why does God do more through some than others? It's simply that some people have learned not to trust themselves and to trust him. So God does more through them. Potentially, God can do as much through you as he does through me, even more so. You trust him more than I do. You stop, if you live not I, but Christ more than I do, then you'll see God do more in your life than I see in my life. You say, but it's all down to anointing. But you have the anointing of the Holy One. That anointing abides, and the Holy One is Christ in you. So if you don't trust yourself but trust him, you will see. You don't have to look at somebody else's ministry and say, "Oh, I wish I had a ministry like that." All you've got to do is stop trusting yourself and trust him and see what God does. Yeah. Or you won't suddenly have a ministry like men, because we all start at the beginning and God, we have to prove faithful in little things And then he puts us in charge of much. But what's it prove? What does it mean to be proved faithful? That you don't do it, but he does it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ridiculous situation. If you think, here am I, I've got Christ in me, and I say, you just take a rest, Jesus, I'll do it. Or if I say, well, yes, all right, Christ, you're in me, but I don't need you at the moment. I can handle this. It's all right. It's all right. All right. I'll just let you know when I need you. But don't interfere, because I'm doing it. This is me. I've got to accomplish something for you. And he says, oh, yes, really, Colin, what can you accomplish for me that I couldn't accomplish much better myself? And don't you think if I did it, it would have better results than if you did it? Hello? Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Uhrasatapa karasitapa. You're in for blessing when we go to Revelation. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Well, it's a mild rebuke, isn't it? Don't trust in yourself. You've been trusting in yourself. Don't trust in yourself anymore. That's a rebuke, but it's a mild rebuke. It's a loving rebuke. God hasn't said, you crazy imbeciles, have me living in you and you've been trusting yourself instead. What a nutcase is you. God doesn't talk to us like that. He just lovingly gives us revelation. Don't you think if I am in you, it would be much better to trust in me than to trust in yourself? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. He does it nice and lovingly. Whether he's thinking you're a nutcase or not is another matter, but he deals with you. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent of trusting in yourself. Huh? Right. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Okay, question. Have you opened the door to him? I said that was a question. Have you opened the door to him?
Yes.
Then he's come in. He's come in that you may eat with him. Hello? He says, and he will eat with me. And who is he? He is the bread of life. He is the bread that came down from heaven. Now, if you eat of him, you always have enough. More than enough. God has been promising us two things here at Kingdom Faith for this year: abundance and harvest. Things have improved as far as provision is concerned, and we've seen some people come to the Lord, but you could not say that we have yet seen abundance and harvest. Why? Because God's been waiting for us to trust him. Not pray to him, not believe, but trust. Why? How are we going to produce the harvest? Answer, we're not. We're already doing everything we can as a church evangelistically. We could put on a few more events, but they're not likely to be any more successful than the events we've already put on. They don't produce harvest. But there's someone living in you who in Scripture is called the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. Now, what would happen if we all started to trust the Lord of the harvest to produce the harvest, instead of thinking we're going to produce the harvest through our activities? If we trust the Christ in us, we trust the Lord of the harvest, and what will he produce? The harvest. The harvest isn't spring harvest or some conference somewhere. It's the multitudes of the lost getting saved. So that Christ may live in them. Why haven't we yet seen abundance? Because we're still praying for it. But if I have Christ in me, I've got the provider in me, which means I've got the provision. If I stop asking for what I have, then I can enter into what I have. But while I'm asking for what I have, I'm in unbelief. I don't believe I have it. And Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. So if I don't believe I've received it, I'm in unbelief. If I believe I've received it, I'm full of thanksgiving because I know the provider has given me all the provision that I need. Or if we're praying corporately as Kingdom Faith, that's true for Kingdom Faith. See, I've been trying to get folks to see this these last few months. Saying, you see, the storehouse is full. You're not actually going to see the abundance until you believe the storehouse is full, even without seeing any evidence of that. But once you believe the storehouse is full, you'll see the abundance. It's faith. Why? Because faith, you see, is seeing and then speaking what you see into being. So you've got to see the storehouse full. Otherwise, you can't speak it into being. Everything that God ever says comes to pass. Why? Because before he speaks, he sees it. So you see, when he brought creation into being, he already saw what he was going to do. He spoke the words, creation happened, he looked at it and he said, that's good. Why? Because it was exactly what he saw before he spoke. Now Jesus, you see, when he spoke, he saw the person healed before he spoke. He saw Lazarus raised before he commanded. He actually prayed, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Right? You believe that you have received. He believed he'd received the resurrection of Lazarus before he said, Lazarus, come out! You see, and then you speak it into being. So while you're saying to the Lord, Lord, fill the storehouse, God's hands are poised ready, but they're not stretched out to bless. Lord, thank you. The storehouse is full. Ah, now you're speaking. You see what I see. But when it comes to a corporate thing, he wants us all corporately to see it, not just one or two people. Hello? Oh, praise God. He's come knocking on your door, you've opened, and he's come in to eat with you. He's come in to stay. So that for the rest of your life, it's not I, but Christ. Now, you see, when you've been asked to do things that fill you with fear, but they're things that you've had to do, then you have tended to put your trust in the Lord because you knew you couldn't do it. And then you've been amazed at what he enabled you to do. Well, why wait until you're afraid? Why wait until you're confronted with something that you can't do? Because he doesn't suddenly turn up when you're in a spot or a mess. He has come to live in you. To reside in you, to stay, to remain, to continuously live in you. So this is wonderful liberation. Why? Because I no longer have to try to create a righteousness of my own. He is my righteousness. I no longer have to try to live a holy life. He is my holiness. I no longer have to try to fight and fight and fight in prayer, because He is my victory.
Amen.
Oh, I need to pray and establish the victory, but He gives the victory. I don't fight in prayer to get the victory. I've got to see the victory when I start to pray. And then just pray it into being. So there's no question mark as to what is going to happen. Do you realize every time you pray, you get what you see before you pray? Every time. Every time. If you don't see anything, you don't get anything. If you see a question mark, you get a question mark. But if you see the answer before you pray, you get the answer. Hallelujah. It's wonderfully liberating to know that it doesn't matter how weak I am. Doesn't matter if I feel unacceptable, because I have been accepted in the Beloved, and that's got nothing to do with my feelings. Now, one last thing. What all these scriptures, and many others that we haven't looked at this morning, several of which we looked at last week, but if we look at this whole burden of scripture, we see that the life of faith is Christ in us. So it's Christ working through us. He needs us so that He can work through us. He needs you so that He can work through you. So it isn't that you become inactive. Passivity is of the devil. Faith is very active. But the most active thing you can do is to trust Him. Now, just turn to John chapter 6 very quickly. I'll just show you that this is what Jesus was teaching the people. See, it doesn't matter what your ministry or anything else. This is a key scripture for you to understand. Chapter 6, verse 28. Then they asked Him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." To believe. This is your work. Your work is to believe. Your work is to believe in Him, because if you believe in the Christ in you, then He will work through you. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. The work of God is this, to believe. Amen. The work of God is to believe. The work of God is to believe. So all I've got to do is believe. I've got to trust Him. And therefore speak what He gives me to speak. Do what He tells me to do. I'm not going to be inactive, but it's going to be Him that's taking the initiative. It's going to be Him that is in charge. It's going to be what He does, not what I do, that is going to make the difference. Are we getting it? Now, it will appear that you've done it. People won't realize that you've done what you've done because you were trusting Christ in you. Because it's Christ working through you, it will appear as if you've done it. Now, here is both the blessing and the danger. You will accomplish so much more, but the danger is you would take the praise for doing it. Whereas if it's the work of Christ in you, you will never, ever, ever, not even for a moment, not even for a fraction of a second, take the acclaim for yourself. When people congratulate you, you will always say, well, praise the Lord, thank God, it was the Lord. I just thank the Lord, praise the Lord. People forever coming up to me saying, thank you, God did so-and-so through one of your messages, through one of your books or conference here, or God healed me. Nobody will ever, ever say anything like that to me, ever, without me saying, well, praise God, thank the Lord, give him the glory. Why? If I ever take that to myself, how can I expect Christ to work through me? Because I'm stealing the glory. So it will appear as if you're doing these things. Now, will this change you? What about this scripture that he transforms us into his likeness with ever-increasing glory? He doesn't change you. But what appears is that there is change in your life, that there's more glory for God because you're trusting him more and Christ is doing more through you. In other words, the more you cross out I, the more the glory of God gets revealed through you. It isn't that you and of yourself change, because you will still be so unpredictable and unreliable. I mean, you've heard of men of God, women of God, they do boom, great exploits of God. Next thing you know, they're in a mess. They've sinned, they've grieved God. Why? Because they are still the same in the natural. They were trusting God, God was working through them, and they got their eyes off the Lord, onto themselves, onto what they wanted. And then they have to go through a whole repentance again and get restored back to dependence upon Jesus. Why? Because the flesh is always the flesh, and the flesh will never change. In your flesh there dwells nothing good. Nothing. Not even the teeniest, weeniest little bit of good. God sees absolutely nothing good about you. What he does see is Christ in you. And you are accepted in him, in the Beloved. You see, this is the pride of man. The pride says, there must be something good about me. And God says, what? There must be something I could do for you, Lord. He says, what? Surely God, after all these years, has been in some improvement. Oh, what? You see, the only improvement he wants is to see greater trust in him. Because the work of God is to believe. This is the work that God requires. So praise God. Oh, see, there's so much, isn't there? But you get the session from last week about faith. Because God has given you the faith to do that. To everyone is given the measure of faith. And he is the author and perfecter of our faith. You can't say, I can't believe and I can't trust Christ in me. Yes, you can. Because when you were born again, God gave you the faith to believe that. Why on earth should he come to live in you without giving you the faith to trust him? But to every man is given the measure of faith. It's just whether you put your faith in the Christ in you or you put your faith in yourself. But you have the measure of faith. You have all the faith you will ever need already to trust God for whatever challenge comes before you in your life. You have the faith within you. All you've got to do is trust him and not yourself. Amen. and to realize it isn't a matter of, help me, Lord, but not I, but Christ. Come on, let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Thank him that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. It's not you that matters. It's not your weakness that matters. It's not. The Christian life is not a self-improvement program. You can say, Lord, I thank you that I don't matter. I really don't matter. But what does matter is that Christ is in me. Hallelujah. The hope of glory. I know it's not I, Lord. It's not I. Thank you that you crucified me. Thank you that you put me to death so that now I can be a new creation and my new identity, my new life is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. Barata para zatari elera bakara sitri sarara bakara sitri sanduba. Barata para zatari elera bakara sitri sarato bakara sitri sanduba. Bora tapara salabasuturi sarato bakara sitri sanduba. Yes, 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 not I, not I, not I, but Christ. Oh Lord, I thank you that you don't up sticks and leave home when I'm having a bad day. Thank you, Lord, that you're always there. You never leave me. You never forsake me. And Lord, even when I make the mistake of trusting in myself, you still don't leave. You just wait for me to come back to trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that you let me fail when I trust in myself, just to help me to learn to trust in you at all times and in every situation. And I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. Puta para zata para zatari eletuba. Barata para zata bara. Not I, not I, not I, but Christ. Puta para zata para zituba. Pupara zata para zituba. Barata para zata para zituri zatuba. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't matter that I can't, because you can, and you are living in me. So I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Hallelujah. You are the strength of my life and my portion forever. I can do all things through him. All things through him. Thank you, Lord, that you say all things are possible for he who has faith. Because my faith is in the one for whom nothing is impossible. And he lives in me and works through me. Hallelujah. Sara tapara zatari elera bakarasituba. Bara tapara zatari elera bakarasituba. Bara tapara zatari elera bakarasituri satuba. Bara tapara zatari elera bakarasituri sanduba. Bora tapara zatari elera bakara sitri sanduma. Bora tapara zatari elera bakara sitri satu bakara sitoba. Borandari zatu bakara sitri saratori elera bakara sitoba. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord, that because you live in me, I can see what you see. I thank you that you want to show me what you see so that I can do the things that I see you doing. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me that measure of faith. And thank you, Lord, that as I put my faith in you, so you will show me what you see. And when I see what you see, I can speak it into being. I can pray it into being. Oh, and because you showed me it, it's bound to happen. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's really praise the Lord for this. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Purata parazata parazata parazito. Barata parazata parazato bakarazito.
Not I, not I, not I, but Christ. Hallelujah. Sarabatata barata barazata barituba. Barata barazata barazata balatuba. Basata paria leto bakarazituba. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Poratapa. Oh, thank you, Lord. We have a glorious future. A glorious future. Thank you that the work of God is to believe in you. And Lord, I thank you that as I trust in you, so you will perform your works through me. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Kutaparazata paratuba. Boratapa parazitopa. Baratapa razata parazitrizato. Baratapa razatari eledobacarazitrizanto. Now, Lord, thank you that each one of us this morning can examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. And you say that when Christ comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find this kind of faith? Not I, but Christ. Now you see, if you see that in some ways you have not been in that faith, you can ask God to forgive you right now. So as we saw last week, this is the beginning of a new chapter in our lives. The first two pages of the chapter are really the revelation that God gives. Then the rest of the chapter you write. The exploits that God will do in and through you because of this revelation which comes afresh to your heart. But first you might need to say, Lord, forgive me. Because I've trusted in myself. I've looked at myself, my feelings, my fears, my doubts, my inadequacy. And I realize that none of that matters anymore because Christ is in me. You might need to say, Lord, I've just been so preoccupied with my weakness and my inadequacy. Thank you that I can realize this morning it doesn't matter. Because Christ is in me. That you actually want me to stay weak in myself so that your strength and your life and your power can come through. Thank you, Lord. This is so liberating. Thank you that my acceptance is in the Beloved. Thank you that you are my righteousness. That when you look upon me, you see me in the righteousness of Christ. That, Lord, you see me holy because you are my holiness. Oh, thank you that you are my victory. That from this day on, I need never experience failure or defeat again. That if I trust in you, you will give me the victory. And I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. I give you all the glory, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sara taparazatori sato bakarasitri sandaba. Baratabarazatari elera bakarasitri sanduma. Boratabarazatari elera bakarasitri sanduba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see every mountain moved? You don't have to live with mountains anymore. You don't have to pray about the mountains. The Christ in you will address those mountains, and they will flee before him and be thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Satupa karasitri satupa. Baratapara sataria ledabakara sitri satupa. Baratapara sataria ledabakara sitri sandama. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank him that he's given you the measure of faith. Thank you that he has already authored in you the faith that you need to see him come forth in every situation in your life. You can't say, I don't have the faith. You do have the faith. Thank him that now you're going to put the faith in him, not yourself. Not I, not I, not I, but Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Lord. Burata parazata parazata parazituba. Oh, Lord, I thank you that there's no limit now to what you can do in us, what you can do through us, what you can do among us. Hallelujah. That as we trust you, Lord, all those limitations that we've put on you in the past are now in the past. Hallelujah. And your unlimited power and life and love can be released through us. Thank you, Lord, that we can love with your love. Oh, yes, we can do everything with your grace. Lord, we can face every situation in your power. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes! Amen. Just turn to all those around you and say, it's not I, but Christ who lives in me.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.